I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us another day. In the final days of this county board term, we give you many thanks. There have been many struggles, many sorrows, and yet we are still here to give you thanks that our citizens live free. May the work of this county board term go forth to the benefit of our county and its citizens. Where the efforts of this board have fallen short, we ask your forgiveness. May all that is done this day be for your greater honor and glory. Amen.
Amen. Good evening and welcome to the Kendall County Board Agenda Special Meeting and last meeting of this term. This Tuesday, 29 November 2016 at 4:30 p.m. Please call the roll.
Ms. Kulik?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Ms.
Gilmore?
Ms. Flowers is excused.
Here.
Mr. Grader? Mr. Kokel?
Mr. Kokel's excused.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Here.
Mr. Worley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. Now, on the approval of the agenda, on the new business, I think one of these items is, I know one of them is ready to go. I don't know where state's attorney people are. And I believe, printed this out, didn't believe how long it was. I believe it is the bargaining unit of the full-time records clerks, which would be, which one is that? D. But it's my understanding from Leslie Johnson and perhaps from our learned sheriff that the other three are not quite ready to go. Is that not true? That's true.
One second.
The records clerks are ready, according to Leslie.
C.
D.
B is not.
No.
C is, and D is.
C?
C and D, the two of the three are ready for approval. She was printing those out, and she is literally 2 minutes behind, 5 minutes behind.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'd like a motion to delay the approval of item B and item E.
So moved.
B and D. No, sorry.
No.
No. B is the one that's going to need to be pulled. Corrections deputies. I'll just make it. We'll just use them by the names. Corrections deputies is not at this point ready.
Okay.
The corrections sergeants and the records clerks. She will have those literally being brought right now here for approval.
Okay.
So if we can just have a couple minutes on those two,
yeah,
they will be ready here
in
momentarily.
Item E is fine as well.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So then we're deleting B and the other one. That's the only one we're deleting.
Yes.
So, in new business, item A is, item A, C, D, and E are going to stay with us. Are there any other corrections to the agenda? And if we could have a motion for that, we do, don't we?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Any other changes to the agenda? Names to be stricken from appointment? Never mind. So now we've gotten through that. Are there any citizens to be heard in the audience? Wonderful. All right, and now on to new business. Is there someone here that wants to read the item A?
I'll be happy.
Okay, thank you, Judy.
I move we approve.
Second.
Approve the proclamation of November 2016 as Epilepsy and SUDEP Awareness Month in the County of Kendall, Illinois.
Do we need to read it?
Did you want to read it?
Oh, is there more?
Well, the part that...
Sorry.
The first page.
Do you want me to read this, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you would.
The resolution.
Yes, okay. Once again, a resolution is being presented to you, the members of the Kendall County Board, for the purpose of promoting greater public awareness of epilepsy in all its forms, from benign to life-threatening, by declaring November 2016 to have Epilepsy and SUDEP Awareness Month in Kendall County. November is generally chosen since the Muslim Congress first recognized it as Epilepsy Awareness Month in 2003. I apologize that due to the election, this material was not submitted earlier, and it is my hope awareness of this condition will be increased every month. For any that are interested in additional information, in 2013, I found myself thrust into doing much reading and research on this topic. Although some information and statistics may vary depending on the source and differing research practices, there are many interesting facts available, such as epilepsy is not a disorder that primarily affects children. It affects people of all ages, and it's believed the largest increases may be seen in returning veterans due to brain trauma, as well as the aging boomer generation. According to the Epilepsy Foundation, there are over 200,000 new cases per year. One in four are children, one in three are persons over 65, and even more surprisingly, the remaining 40% of new cases start in people between the ages of 16 and 64. In 70% of those new cases, the cause of onset is unknown, and currently there is no cure. It is the fourth most common neurological disorder in the U.S. Its prevalence is greater than autism spectrum disorder, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, and Parkinson's disease combined. It is so common that one in three adults know someone with a disorder, yet it's still among the least understood of all major chronic medical conditions. Control of seizures is most often managed through medications. However, anti-seizure medications may have seriously troubling quality of life side effects, even when they're successful at controlling the actual seizures. Therefore, people may quit taking their medications or at least cease taking them as prescribed. While most people with epilepsy live full, healthy lives, there is another largely unknown event that occurs in an estimated 1 in 1,000 people with epilepsy, and that is death. Referred to as SUDEP, Sudden Unexpected Death in Epilepsy, it's believed to be the leading epilepsy-related cause of death. This is a devastating reality most people haven't even heard of, including many people in medical professions. A death is referred to as SUDEP when a seemingly healthy person with epilepsy dies unexpectedly and no clear reason for the death can be determined. In most cases, an autopsy is needed to rule out other causes of death, although even then, perhaps through lack of awareness, the cause of death may not be attributed to SUDEP. People with seizures, epilepsy, and their families or caregivers should have the opportunity to be informed that they have an increased risk of dying suddenly for no discernible reason. In May 2013, I received a devastating phone call informing me that my oldest son, who lived out of state, had been found at home dead of an apparent seizure. Until my research put me in touch with the North American SUDEP Registry, I had no idea that anyone died directly from seizures and epilepsy. Upon accessing and reviewing some of my son's medical records, I found he had two known tonic-chronic grand mal seizures in 2 years, and almost a year later, this third one was fatal. The pathologist did not find anything wrong during his examinations, and there were no signs of drugs or alcohol in his system. Unfortunately, he did find subtherapeutic levels of a prescribed anti-seizure medication. His employer later shared that my son had told him he couldn't deal with the effects of the medication and was trying to reduce the dosage. I've asked myself many times if my son might be alive right now if someone had told him that not taking his medication could be fatal. He was an adult and should have known or should have had the right to decide what course of action to pursue based on being provided with a full knowledge of the possible death outcomes of his condition, including SUDEP. One of the most common statements I read from families dealing with the aftermath of SUDEP is, "No one told us this could happen." The North American SUDEP Registry Project, ongoing at the New York University School of Medicine, is among those gathering case information as well as tissue and DNA samples from people who have died of SUDEP for the purpose of uncovering risk factors, causes, and developing preventative measures. My son was accepted into the project. Various other epilepsy groups and organizations such as SUDEP Aware and Danny Did are recognizing the need for this research. Thank you for your interest and your help. Renetta Mickelson, Chief Deputy Clerk.
Thank you, Judy, very much for reading that. And the resolution that reflects all of what Judy was reading is in front of us, and we have a motion. I'll make a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Purcell?
Oh, no, that was it. Just the second.
Oh, okay. Mr. Purcell. Another second. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? All right. All right. Item B has been stricken. Are we ready to approve the?
If we can just come back to C and D as soon as we're here with the final copies. Yes, we'll be ready tonight.
Let's skip ahead to old. No, let's come down to E. Approve the HITA Executive Director Agreement with Kennel County as the fiduciary agent effective November 29, 2016 through November 28, 2019. Could I have a motion?
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Is there something you want to share with us over there?
No.
Okay. Old business, is there any old business to come in front of the board? Seeing none, standing committee reports, administration HR.
We have two. I guess we have to do these separately, so we'll do them one at a time. These are the job descriptions that I failed to make sure were on the agenda last time, so. We have in front of you there is, or in the packet there is, a systems administrator job description. So I will make a motion that we approve that job description.
Second.
Were these at?
These were at Committee of the Hall. They were also at our committee meeting, and so that's where they came out of, was administration HR, and went to the Committee of the Hall meeting, and then I did not check to make sure that they were on the agenda, and they were not last.
Mr. Grider.
Have these changed at all from the Committee of the Whole?
They have not.
Thank you.
I think we're ready to vote on them, Mr. Shaw.
Roll call.
Or at least the first one.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grider?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes. Okay, I would like to make a motion then to approve the computer support specialist job description.
Second.
No changes.
Discussion, question? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Moving right along, Finance Committee.
Thank you. First item is the final claims for the year. I move we approve the claims in the amount of $1,394,550.74. Pettiger claims in the amount of $1,291.24. Grandeur claims the amount of $286.84. And election judges in an amount of $70,937.38.
Second?
Second.
Roll call. No, wait a minute. We have a departing elder.
You guys ran through the $1.7 million worth of stuff pretty quick yesterday, and I know there's probably a real good reason for it, but there was a guy that had over $300 worth of mileage for helping with the elections, Mr. Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing?
Well, he helps out with early voting, so he doesn't just do one day.
So he was running around the whole time?
For probably 5 weeks.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. That one stuck out like a sore thumb. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a motion on the floor, don't we?
Yep.
Second, roll call.
Mr. Grader?
Abstain.
Mr. Prochaska?
Abstain.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yeah.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
You had 6 yeses and 2 abstains.
Well, then it passes. By the skin of a skinny... No, never mind.
Can I step on order, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, you may, Mr. Davidson.
I think the Robert Rules of Order, when somebody abstains, you're supposed to give a reason why they're abstaining.
Well, that's very good. Glad you reminded us of that. So who should we start with? Mr. Grider was the first stainer.
Had a conflict.
One of my relatives is has an ongoing contract with the county through their company. I don't vote on any of their items or contracts when they're up for renewal.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, racing ahead, shall we have a motion for approval of the Kendall County Fiscal Year 2016-2017 combined budget and appropriations ordinance for all funds with total expenditures not to exceed $66 million and fund transfers out not to exceed $8 million.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions, comments, Mr. Worley?
You guys have worked on this for 6-8 months, and we don't even have a number here.
What's in the packet?
You don't have a number?
You got a packet right here. And I'll give you the exact number. The expenditures are $64,798,435. And the transfers are out are $7,843,656.
Is that an amendment motion that those numbers be inserted?
Well, I've never voted on something for a final where we haven't had absolute numbers, so this to me is worthless. Starting.
Well, that's fine. You got a packet here. It's in there.
I know it's in here, but it's not on my agenda.
Okay.
Well, it's not on the agenda. It shouldn't get voted on.
Well, no, it says not to exceed, and those numbers do not exceed that.
Okay.
Mr.
All right.
Chairman?
Yes, sir. Mr. Davidson.
Should that motion be amended to the correct numbers that we're voting on?
All right. If it's your pleasure, and certainly it sounds reasonable, we can amend it to that.
That's good stuff.
Is that all right with you, Mr. Purcell?
That's fine. That's what we're voting on.
May I have you repeat the numbers?
Sure. The expenditures are $64,798,435, and the transfers are $7,843,656.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Worley.
I got a couple more. Can I assume that in this packet here and what we are voting on also are all the levies?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that we've never voted on the levies one by one. So this is just buried in this is the levies.
No. Well, you're right. The levies are in here. But the levies are voted on separately in December. They're always voted on separately from the budget.
So this does not include the levies. The levies will be voted on at some future point.
Correct. That's the way we've done it in the past.
Okay.
We vote on a budget document, and then at a separate meeting, we vote on a levy document.
Okay. So last night, for the first time, I heard that the finance group, which was the four of you, decided that the health department was going to take a $225,000 hit out of their levy with no discussion. Actually, there was discussion. You said two sentences on it. That was the only discussion that I know of in this entire, not only the finance group, but the entire board where this has been discussed. You plan on bringing this up and talking about it a little bit more, I hope, to the future board? Because the way this has been done is a mockery of transparency. You guys have decided amongst yourselves what's going to happen, and you put it down on paper. And unless people go and look at it and find it, it's not discussed. And I find it pretty sad. I find that that's not the way that Kendall County should be run. Kendall County should be run with open and transparent. And I thought that's the way a lot of you guys got elected, the way I got elected, was transparency. And this is not transparent. So I hope when you do vote on this, that you talk about it a little bit and you open up for discussion amongst all the board members, not just the four of you, the levies.
You're talking about
and the budget.
December, right?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Purcell, you have a rebuttal?
Well, just a comment, and I can appreciate Mr. Worley's concerns, but the point he's making is $225,000 for the health department. This board, a year ago, voted on a budget for $350,000 transfer for the health department. The health department transferred $125,000. We discussed this at the first meeting of the month in November when we had our committee of the whole discussion. We discussed it at the finance meeting subsequent to that. We also discussed that at the board meeting. I attended the finance committee meeting of the Board of Health per your request and Amal Tokar's request, and I did tell them at that meeting that they would be invoiced for the difference. As of the discussion yesterday at the finance meeting, and as of Wednesday, there was no $225,000 balance transferred. So the $225,000 has really been discussed for 13 months now. It's just one form or the other. This is how it needs to be done.
I think it's been discussed amongst you guys, but I don't think that you ever brought it up at a board meeting. I think that we had a one-hour conversation, the entire finance committee, the whole, of all the time that we met about the budget was 1 hour. And we never discussed it there. I know we've never discussed it at a board meeting. So I'm having trouble following your logic here about where, when, and how it's been discussed. And I know there was you had two sentences last night about it, and that was it. So I just hope that the next board can become more involved with the budget and have these things out front and have them out in the open so that people have a chance to comment on it and not just go blindsided and be at the end of the year and throw 45 pages or 75 pages of stuff at you and expect people to blindly follow, because that's not the way this government should be run.
We have a motion and a second for item two here.
Chairman?
Yes, sir, Mr. Davis.
I have one question because Mr. Purcell, is $20,000 in here for the autopsy table?
It is.
Are you kidding me?
apologize to you and the rest of the committee. We got going into this, and I forgot to ask it last night, but I would, I guess I need a thought on this. If it's in the budget, and we put it in her budget, she can spend it accordingly. Am I wrong, or is this under capital, and they have to come back to us to get it?
It's under capital.
So we have to vote on it to give it to her.
What we've done in the past, if something's under capital, it's up to the office or the department.
Then I will make a motion to remove that from this budget at this time.
I'll second that.
If somebody will give me a second, I'll be happy to explain it. You second it? Mm-hmm. May I have the floor, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You know, we are going, you know, there's been lots of requests for additional funds. We've had this autopsy table for over 20 years. It's almost like brand new. I realize somebody has to stand on a stool to take pictures of it. I also realize that, you know, it's been there for 20 years. We've had to do this for 20 years. There's been all kinds of requests for money being spent, and we do have a big deficit, and I know $20,000 is a joke as far as our budget goes. It don't even scratch the table. But I also think that the perception that it's there, she has not followed the procedures to come before finance to request it. And like everybody else has to, our new coroner, this was put in the budget, and I don't think it's right. I think it shows a conflict per se, and I think it needs to be removed from the budget. And then I'll be happy to pass the budget.
All right, we have a motion and a second for a counter proposal here and amended. So let's have a roll call on that for the Davidson motion.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Abstain.
Mr. Shaw?
No.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
No.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 ayes, 3 nays, 1 abstain.
So what happened?
It didn't pass.
Removed from the budget.
It passed by?
It stays in the budget.
Stays on. My motion was to remove it. They said four in favor, so it's removed.
The abstain counts as a no.
That's correct.
4-4.
4-4 is a tie.
In essence, it's a 4-4 tie. In essence, yes.
All right. The amendment failed, correct?
Correct.
So now we're back to the original motion?
The first amended motion, which was the actual numbers. 64,798,435 and 7,843,656.
And we have a second on that?
We had a second, I don't remember.
We did, yeah. Yes. I don't know who it was.
All right. Well, may we live in exciting times. roll call.
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
Question.
Certainly.
Could Mr. Purcell explain what changes are in what we have here in front of us compared to what we saw at the committee of the whole?
Yes. I don't have exact numbers. Jeff, do you have those or not?
We discussed those last night. I could make copies of those.
Yeah, no, actually I have it here. Thank you. From the last time, we were at $2.1 million. And Jeff, if you have I have the yesterday's changes, but not the previous ones. But from yesterday, we're at $1.9 million, down to $830,000. And that $830,000 deficit is based on the fund balance policy that was passed by this board 2 months ago, so that keeps us at a six-month fund balance. We reduced the IMRF Social Security levy by $200,000. We reduced the Health and Human Services levy by $225,000. We reduced the contingency by $500,000. We reduced the jury commission by $35,000. We reduced election costs by $75,000. We reduced the healthcare by $25,000, and that was on top of approximately a $200,000 reduction from the meeting we discussed earlier in the month. And we also had a couple in small increases, I think one was like $8,000, and, do you have that sheet, Jeff?
From before that, those are...
The last meeting, yes, where we made the change.
From 11-10, there was a health premium decrease of almost $250,000.
Oh, 250, okay, thank you.
But the most recent was $25,000.
On top of the 250.
On top of the 250.
Okay.
When you reduce the premium, there's also a reduction on the revenue side, because you're reducing what the employees contribute. So that wasn't technically a reduction, it would actually increase the deficit. These numbers would all increase, would be related to the healthcare decrease. $21,377 for the general fund, also a transfer in decrease of $3,416. The retiree COBRA, $11,000, and then HHS transfer reduction by $10,518. And there was also a reduced sheriff public safety dispatch by $6,280.
That was for ChemCom.
That was for ChemCom. But for the sheriff's portion of that allocation.
Mr. Rory?
The general fund, the six-month fund balance, are we at 6 months, 180 days? Is that exactly where we're at, Jeff, or is there, you know?
With the budget as proposed.
Right.
That would take us to 6 months, or that would keep us at a six-month fund.
6 months meaning 180 days?
Six, yeah.
Because some of the stuff we're talking about is, I think the $225,000 amounts to about 5 days of the 6 months. So, we're really cutting this down to the bare, I'd like to know that it was, that it is 180 days, and that's not in 190 days.
No, that's...
200 days.
This projected at 6 months, basically 50% of expenditures and transfers out. So that's what the...
Exactly 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That's shown in your packet, and it's on this page. Mark, there's a number 22 at the bottom, but it's not actually number 22, page 22.
Which packet are you looking at, Jeff?
The one that was at your desk.
The budget packet.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
By the fifth region.
It says 22.
Thank you.
It's on the backside.
Oh, yeah.
You can see the decrease of the fund balance. Actually, expenditures and the decrease of the dollar amount. So we, you know, at the end of 2014, we're at 15.5. Obviously, expenditures have gone up, but we are, that fund balance is going down.
Any more questions, Mr. Worley? Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
No.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Six ayes, two nays.
Six and two?
Yep.
All right. Racing ahead to judicial legislative.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution honoring the Honorable James W. Cadwell.
Only if you read it.
So move.
Second.
Whereas the members of the Kendall County Board are saddened by the news of the death of the Honorable James W. Cadwell, who passed away August 30th, 2016, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell was born December 2nd, 1920, the son of Ernest and Blanche Cadwell, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell was married to Helen Gass Cadwell and was the proud father of a daughter, Kathleen Cadwell Banner, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell graduated from the University of Illinois and the University of Illinois College of Law, and whereas James W. Cadwell enjoyed a successful and distinguished career in the private practice of law, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell was appointed an associate judge in 1970 in the 16th Judicial Circuit, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell served as an associate judge in Kane and Kendall counties until his retirement in 1986, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell will always be remembered by his peers and the lawyers who appeared before him as a fair and compassionate man, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell enjoyed a reputation as a truly honorable and decent man with a reputation for common sense in the administration of law, and whereas the Honorable James W. Cadwell is finally remembered as being patient and willing to lead by example and as a role model of appropriate judicial behavior. Therefore, be it resolved by the residents of Kendall County as represented by the Kendall County Board that we mourn the passing of the Honorable James W. Cadwell and extend our sincere condolences to his family, friends, and all who knew and loved him.
I have a motion, right? In a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Thank you. Animal control, Mr. Worley.
Animal control met November 16th. You have minutes in your packet. We did transfer $60,000 a year and transfer from the control fund 350 to the animal control capital fund 340. Animal control had a fairly successful year. Jeff, the trailer should be people in, or they're very close?
Very close. I think that the technology drop downs I think are being worked on right now, but furniture's in, ramps are built, stairs are built, so very, very, very close.
Good.
Permit is interested too. So,
are they getting a desk over there?
They bought one desk, and then Jim was able to find a desk from another office.
Where was that?
There was one near the sheriff's office. I know the sheriff's office had given us a heads up that there was a donation from a firm to law enforcement agencies, and the sheriff's office had accepted some furniture and some of that we were able to utilize also. So that was a donation. I think it was an insurance company. I don't know which one. I don't know where, what other offices that have provided things, but Jim scrounged up some furniture.
He did a good job.
Yeah. Got it relatively inexpensive.
That's it. Committee of the Whole, Mr. Greider, since you ran that meeting and I was unattainably unavailable for the first start of it due to a total screw up on my wife's part on train.
Drag her under the bus. One last time.
She's not here either.
I'm certain it wasn't that lovely woman's fault. So
anyway, I did come, but would you take us through the Committee of the Whole, please, and the approvals of the Memorandum of Understanding?
We did discuss the energy efficiency with Leopardo Energy. They were out here and began that process. New business was the discussion of the Memorandum of Understanding, which I think we're going to be voting on. Yes, we will be. voting on with respect to the red Chevy Silverado, which was a, if I remember correctly, Sheriff, was that a forfeiture? Yes, which was a forfeiture. We then also discussed the new rules that were required for a resolution establishing reimbursement of all travel, meal, and lodging expenses of officers and employees of the County of Kendall. We also discussed upgrading security for the treasurer and county clerk's offices, and we discussed new board member training. So with that, I will make a motion to approve the memorandum of understanding between the Kendall County State's Attorney, the Kendall County Sheriff, and the County of Kendall, Illinois, regarding the use of a 2005 red Chevy Silverado 2500.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Shaw.
Aye.
Mr. Worley.
Yes.
Ms. Kulick.
Yes.
Mr. Davidson.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Grader.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Mr. Purcell.
Aye.
All right, now we're down to other business and then into appointments, and then, of course, we're going to go back to new business. So right now, at this very moment, I'm going to move that we have a hairpiece adjustment, a slight break for those of us that want to pretty ourselves up for our last pictures here. Be back in 3 minutes and 40 seconds. We're back in session now, and I'm going to skip through hurriedly. There is no other business other than what Leslie has in front of us, and through the chairman's report appointments. Most of these are reappointments. I'll read all of them, and then at the end there's an interesting one. Anyway, Terry Frisk to the 708 Mental Health Board, a four-year term, expires December 2020, reappointment. Dick Whitfield, 708 Mental Health Board, four-year term, expires 2020, reappointment. Megan Andrews, Farmland Protection Commission, three-year term, expires December 2019, reappointment. Bill Ashton, Farmland Protection Commission, three-year term, expires December 2019, reappointment. John Church, Farmland Protection Commission, three-year term, expires 2019, reappointment. John Shaw, Farmland Protection Commission, two-year term, expires 2018, reappointment. I guess they'll figure I'll be dead by then. David Stewart, Farmland Protection Commission, two-year term, expires December 2018, reappointment. And John Shaw has been asked to be on the Sheriff Merit Commission for a three-year term, which expires January 2019, replacing Brian Abranovich. And Louise Perez, KenCom Executive Board, replacing Joe West. So,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion.
State's attorney answered my question, Mr. Chairman.
Well, the sheriff was going to leave, and I told him to stay to verify the fact that you will stand up and tell him that I didn't make this up, right? Sheriff Baird?
That is correct. Don't ask
your
question. One of many things you have not made up, but not all things.
That could be taken a couple ways.
Thank you. You may leave.
Right, I'll really said.
All right. Now we go back to other business, and are we going on executive session?
We need executive session for one item that will take 2 minutes. It has nothing to do with these two unless you guys have questions.
We'll do that at the end of the meeting.
Yep. Unless you have questions regarding this stuff, we don't need to do it this second.
Oh, you mean questions about what Leslie has in front of us?
Yep. Otherwise, we can do it at the end.
So we just as soon do what we have in front of us. So, Ms. Johnson, would you approach, please, after your great energy here in getting this finally settled.
Good Chairman Shaw. I have before you two collective bargaining agreements for board approval. Both collective bargaining agreements have already been ratified by the applicable bargaining units. Note, the first one under new business, which was item B for the corrections deputies bargaining unit, that one is not ready for board approval yet, waiting to hear back from the union's business representative still on his review. He's had it for a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll get that finished up the next go around. I was hoping to have all three to you today. However, I will start with item C under new business. That's the collective bargaining agreement between the County of Kendall and the Kendall County Sheriff and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council for the Kendall County Sheriff's Office Corrections Sergeants Bargaining Unit for a four-year term from December 1, 2015 through November 30th, 2019. Just to remind the board, this bargaining unit, I believe, is currently five correction sergeants in this unit. The collective bargaining agreement you have before you for review. To go over what the terms include, like I said, it's a four-year term. Just as a reminder, the contract expired a year ago. We've been negotiating for quite some time, about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And so that's why you'll see the contract started a year ago. The next item that we'll have is grievance procedures. Our goal has been to standardize all of the dispute resolution and grievance procedures with all of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police bargaining units. So that way it will be easier for administration of any dispute resolution and grievance process. It also provides the employer with more time to respond to grievances so that we have the opportunity to fully investigate, discuss, and review with legal counsel. Next item is dealing with the hours of work and overtime. If you look under that article, you'll see some revisions to that as well. We have amended this article pertaining to the hours of work. Specifically, it will give the sheriff the ability to implement up to a maximum of 12-hour work shifts, but he also has the flexibility to implement work shifts of less than 12 hours for this unit if deemed appropriate. We hope that by implementing this change that will reduce overtime costs for the Kendall County Sheriff's Office and Kendall County. We have also made substantive changes to the health insurance section of the union contract. Those changes include the following. Effective December 1, 2017, the employer is permitted to eliminate the most expensive health insurance plan that we had, which was the traditional PPO plan. Also, effective December 1, 2017, the county will continue to offer the existing high deductible health plan with the HSA contributions remaining status quo. This will be considered the county's core health insurance plan. In subsequent plan years, the county will reserve the right to change the core insurance plan so long as the level of benefits remains substantially similar. Effective 12-1-17, the county will also have the option to decide whether or not it wants to continue offering an HMO plan. If it chooses not to offer an HMO plan, it has to offer at least one alternative insurance plan. So hopefully this will provide the county with a little bit more flexibility in being able to shop around for health insurance and to obtain more competitive quotes. It also kind of change with the times as insurance changes. If there's other options that exist that would be more favorable to the employees, it will give the employer the option to implement alternative health insurance plans. Also, effective December 1, 2017, the county may implement a wellness program. Effective January 1, 2017, the county may implement a wellness program. It would be a voluntary wellness program. To participate in the program, the employees and their spouses, if the spouses are enrolled in the county's health insurance, must complete an annual physical and provide proof of completion of the annual physical on or before November 1st. If they participate in the voluntary wellness program, Their health insurance premium contributions will remain at the status quo, the percentage rates, which is a 90% provided by, covered by the county for the single, and it's 10% for single, the same if that the employee pays if they are enrolled in that plan for the core high deductible health plan. The county's cost for single coverage for an alternative, or I'm sorry, for the core high deductible health plan, if they do not participate in that voluntary wellness program, will be 80% instead of the current 90%. The cost, county's cost for single coverage for an alternative health plan shall be the same total dollar contribution provided by the county for the single core high deductible health plan. So instead of the percentage allocation, it will be the same total dollar equivalent that the county provides. However, the employee shall pay at least a minimum of $15 per paycheck for single premium or single premium equivalent. For the family core high deductible health plan, the employee shall pay 50% of the difference between the family premium less the county's 80% share of the single premium. If the employee completes the wellness program, the premium allocation will remain status quo using the 90% instead of the 80% in that equation that we've discussed before. The county's cost for family premium for employees enrolled in the alternative health plan shall be the same total dollar contribution provided by the employer for employees enrolled in the family core high deductible health plan. However, the enrolled employee shall pay a minimum of $100 per paycheck for the family premium. We've also included for correction sergeants a new provision in the contract that prohibits the employees from using vacation, comp time, or any combination thereof with their regularly scheduled days off to be off from work for more than 17 consecutive calendar days without the sheriff's prior approval. Not more than once every 18 months, the employee may use no more than 24 consecutive, or be absent from work for more than 24 consecutive days. Also, we have added a new provision in this collective bargaining agreement that the employees are not permitted to miss more than two in-house training days per year without the sheriff's prior approval. When Sheriff Baird took office, he made training a priority for his employees. And our goal here is to make sure that the training opportunities that are provided are actually utilized by the employees. With respect to the financial terms of this collective bargaining agreement, the wages are as follows for a four-year contract. Effective 12/1/15, it will be a 2.5% increase to their current salary. Effective 12/1/16, another 2.5%. Effective 12/1/17, 2.25%. In effective 12/1/18, it will be 2.25% plus an additional 0.5% as quid pro quo for the bargaining unit members' acceptance of the substantial health insurance changes that have been made. With respect to this unit, their command pay is currently $1.75 an hour. Under this collective bargaining agreement, effective January 1/17, that will increase to $2 per hour, and effective 1/1/18, it will increase to $2.25 an hour. The reason for this change was to try and make it more comparable to what the patrol sergeants have. The patrol sergeants' command pay is still higher, but this is to try and get them more on parity with the patrol sergeants. With respect to the equipment allowance, we were able to negotiate a change to eliminate a specific list of clothing and equipment items that are required to be provided to the bargaining unit members. Instead, what it says is that they will be provided the equipment that's deemed reasonably necessary by the sheriff to perform their duties. So this will provide the sheriff with more flexibility in being able to determine what tools and equipment and uniforms are necessary for this bargaining unit. In exchange, the employer has agreed to increase the annual equipment allowance from $100 to $125 effective 1/1/17. If believe that covers it all. Did I miss anything for the two of you?
Not that I can think of.
Does anyone have any questions for me?
Mr. Worley.
Can we assume then ratification of this today that people will get their back money ahead of Christmas?
Retro pay?
Yes, it would be retro pay.
Awesome. But it should come up within the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Do you have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Then moving on to the next item under new business, item D. This is for approval of collective bargaining agreement between the County of Kendall and the Kendall County Sheriff and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council for the Kendall County Sheriff's Office full-time records clerks bargaining unit from December 1, 2015 through November 30th, 2019. Just to update the board, this bargaining unit has gotten a little bit smaller since we started. Currently, they have 3 full-time records clerks for this unit. This unit, there's a little less to have to go over. It also is a 4-year contract. And again, it's retro back to December 1, 2015. Again, requesting the collective bargaining agreement would standardize the grievance procedures. It's the same grievance procedures that would be applicable for the correction sergeants. This unit have requested the ability to use flex time, and that has been included in the collective bargaining agreement, but it would be flex time in no more than 1-hour increments, and it can be used no more than 12 times in a year. And they must make up the time in the same work week, and their request to use the flex time must be approved by the supervisor, the goal being that this will be cost neutral to the employer, so there will be no additional overtime expenses that would be required. It's just giving them a little bit more flexibility in being able to use or to attend to their duties. Then with respect to vacation and sick time, there is no change to that other than we have converted days to hours equivalent, but it's the same exact amount of time. We have also been able to include in this collective bargaining agreement a provision that employees will not accrue seniority for any time the employee is off work on an unpaid leave of absence. Also, there is with respect to the financial terms of this contract, it would be $1,200 per year for each year of this contract. There will be no increase in their longevity pay. There is also no increase in their civil process stipend or any other increase in the wage section of this collective bargaining agreement. Also, this unit has accepted all of the same health insurance language that I've previously mentioned to you with respect to the correction sergeants. That is it. If anybody has any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer those.
I'll make a motion to approve this contract.
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grider?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leslie.
Great job.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were approaching.
If I can't speak for one moment.
What?
If I could speak for one moment, I really want to thank Leslie for all her hard work on this. It was not an easy task trying to accomplish some of the goals and stuff that we wanted throughout. I know there's many hours of discussion in this room late at night, but Leslie persevered and really catch some typographical errors. It was really good on some things in bargaining as well. So
I know there's a few people in this room that were able to sit down at the table and see her represent the county and the sheriff's office as well. Just done an outstanding job. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Citizens to be heard. Questions from the press. Executive session. We have several small items.
One small item.
I promise to be quick unless you ask questions.
Overtime. What do we get for overtime?
Executive session.
Not a thing, my friend.
For the purpose of litigation or action against the fact that behalf of the public body has been filed and is pending before court or when public finds the action is probable or imminent. Number 11. That's it.
We have a motion and a second.
And there's no action afterwards.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
We have to do a roll call.
Broke all my rules. I know I have to do it.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
No.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
That's just a response to Matthew. I now need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Out of here.
You screwed it up. It's supposed to be his motion.
I can withdraw.
Make the motion, but early.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Jeff should have made it.
Oh, well.
We're still being recorded.